Archie, 1974-1945. Every little trifle, for some reason, does seem incalculably important today. And when you say of a thing that nothing hangs on it, it sounds like blasphemy. There's never any knowing, how am I to put it? Which of our actions, which of our idlenesses, won't have things hanging on it forever? Where Angels Fear to Tread, E. M. Forster. 1. The Peculiar Second Marriage of Archie Jones. Early in the morning, late in the century, Cricklewood, Broadway. At 06:27 hours on 1st of January 1975, Alfred Archibald Jones was dressed in corduroy and sat in a fume-filled Cavalier Musketeer estate, face down on the steering wheel, hoping the judgment would not be too heavy upon him. He lay forward in a prostrate cross, jaw slack, arms splayed either side like some fallen angel. Scrunched up in each fist, he held his army service medals, left, and his marriage license, right, for he had decided to take his mistakes with him. A little green light flashed in his eye, signalling a right turn he had resolved never to make. He was resigned to it. He was prepared for it. He had flipped a coin and stood staunchly by its conclusions. This was a decided upon suicide. In fact, it was a New Year's resolution. But even as his breathing became spasmodic and his lights dimmed, Archie was aware that Cricklewood Broadway would seem a strange choice. Strange to the first person to notice his slumped figure through the windscreen. Strange to the policeman who would file the report. To the local journalist called upon to write 50 words. To the next of kin who would read them. Squeezed between an almighty concrete cinema complex at one end and a giant intersection at the other, Cricklewood was no kind of place. It was not a place a man came to die. It was a place a man came in order to go other places via the A41. But Archie Jones didn't want to die in some pleasant, distant woodland or on a cliff edge fringed with delicate heather. The way Archie saw it, country people should die in the country and city people should die in the city. Only proper. In death, as he was in life, and all that. It made sense that Archibald should die on this nasty urban street where he'd ended up, living alone at the age of 47 in a one-bedroom flat above a deserted chip shop. He wasn't the type to make elaborate plans, suicide notes and funeral instructions. He wasn't the type for anything fancy. All he asked for was a bit of silence, a bit of shush, so he could concentrate. He wanted it to be perfectly quiet and still, like the inside of an empty confessional box or the moment in the brain between thought and speech. He wanted to do it before the shops opened. Overhead, a gang of the local flying vermin took off from some unseen perch, swooped, and seemed to be zeroing in on Archie's car roof, only to perform, at the last moment, an impressive U-turn, moving as one with the elegance of a curveball and landing on the Hussein Ishmael, a celebrated halal butcher's. Archie was too far gone to make a big noise about it, but he watched them with a warm internal smile as they deposited their load, streaking white walls purple. He watched them stretch their peering bird heads over the Hussein Ishmael gutter. He watched them watch the slow and steady draining of blood from the dead things, chickens, cows, sheep, hanging on their hooks like coats around the shop. The unlucky. These pigeons had an instinct for the unlucky, and so they passed Archie by, for, though he did not know it, and despite the Hoover tube that lay on the passenger seat, pumping from the exhaust pipe into his lungs, luck was with him that morning. The thinnest covering of luck was on him like fresh dew. Whilst he slipped in and out of consciousness, the position of the planets, the music of the spheres, the flap of a tiger moth's diaphanous wings in Central Africa, and a whole bunch of other stuff that makes shit happen, had decided it was second chance time for Archie. Somewhere, somehow, by somebody, it had been decided that he would live. The Hussein Ishmael was owned by Mo Hussein Ishmael, a great bull of a man with hair that rose and fell in a quiff, then a ducktail. Mo believed that with pigeons, you have to get to the root of the problem. Not the excretions, but the pigeon itself. The shit is not the shit. This was Mo's